But you just come into the lab, and always one of us is going to ask you, is this your first time at the lab? And we're going to take the time to familiarize yourself with the experience, because not only is there nothing else like it in Lake Charles, there's nothing else like it in Louisiana, near as I can find, there's nothing else like it in the United States.
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Jillian Quarter. We're excited once again to bring you the authentic stories and experiences of Southwest Louisiana with all the tools you need to build your own personal Lake Charles itinerary.
I heard that spike. Whoop! Once again. That's exciting. You are excited.
You making fun of me now?
A little bit. All right. Episode 46, Pasta Lab. You're a pasta girl.
I am a pasta girl.
And we're talking pasta with Michael Gardner, the owner, operator there. Every time I hear pasta, now that we have kids, I think of that
pasta,
Cocomelon
pasta
song.
Everywhere. But every time you hear pasta, that reminds you of watching Cocomelon.
Yeah, unfortunately. So that's not good. But
that's how I learned all my different shapes of pasta.
But the conversation is very good. Michael was a great guest, and I think you guys will really, really enjoy the conversation. But as always, before we get to there, we'll start the show with a taste of Southwest Louisiana with a segment that we call Envy Eats.
For Envy Eats this week, we headed over to Southern Spice, a perfect little spot for lunch in Lake Charles, right there on Ryan Street in the heart of it all. They opened back in 1997, so they're almost at 30 years of service. And get this, we were talking to the owner while we were there, and two of the waitresses on staff still started with them 27 years ago.
That's awesome. So that kind of tells you the family atmosphere that's there. I know there's so many, it's always so funny. There's that, we're family here that a lot of companies promote,
sure,
right?
Sure, sure. Like
it
can sound cliche, but.
Right. As we say, and the employees roll their eyes. But
sure,
for them,
is the truth.
You've been there with them for 27 years. So that really shows that the atmosphere that they've built through their employees, which obviously then trickles down to the customers.
Yeah. And their entire family actually does work there. From what
it's
I understand, it really is a family business. So
yeah,
it's a laid back diner style kind of feel. You know, they've got like a plate lunch of the day, that kind of thing. But they also have a full menu that you can order from. It's got a little bit of everything that you might want.
I really feel it's that nostalgic feel. It's that style of restaurant that I feel like all of us frequented when we were growing up. You always had that. Your family had the spot.
The spot, yeah.
And that's the feeling when you walk in. And so that's really something that's hard to really nail down. And a lot of other places are going modern and contemporary styles and the way that it's building. But they went comfort. And it really fits. And it's awesome. And you can feel it the second that you walk through the door. Southern Spice has been a great partner for us here at Visit Lake Charles. Mm-hmm. So many different culinary events they're always a part of, things like Chuck Eats in January. So it's definitely worth visiting, especially during those times too, when they've always got something kind of different on their menu. Now, they do home-cooked style meals, which really fits with that atmosphere that they kind of boast within the building. Southern and Cajun roots there with those. They do breakfast and lunch options. As you mentioned earlier, daily lunch specials, which is actually what I ordered. Burgers, salads, gumbo, po' boys, sandwiches, steaks, seafood, diner style.
A little bit of everything. And
yeah,
it's fast,
exactly.
Too.
They are. They are pretty
That's
quick.
Another thing is, you know, they're open for lunch. They know their clientele is there on a time limit, generally trying to get back to work. And they really cater to that. I mean, we were there in and out within an hour.
And it was busy.
And we sat around, you know, like, you know, we just were chatting the whole time. But it was busy, too.
Sure.
And stuff is moving quickly out of their kitchen.
Yeah. Well, let's go to what we ordered. I opted for the lunch special off the board, red beans. I got corn, carrots, and then some cornbread, of course. And the red beans kind of had a thinner gravy than what you'd see with some red beans. There's multiple ways to do it, right? There's a thinner gravy there, which means it just really kind of sits on that rice in a cool way. It was a nice, soft, smoky sausage. If I were a betting man, I think it's probably Rapido's.
You're that confident?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. I feel like I can nail down the taste. I think they use Rabideau sausage. I'll have to confirm that in our next episode. I'll reach out to Mr. Myron and see if I'm
correct.
Gold
star if you're right. For you to be able to just pick out a piece of sausage from a meal and say, I know what brand of sausage this is.
Muffin-style cornbread. It's so dense. I love a good thick piece of cornbread that really can soak up gravy. And there's absolutely fits that bar. Their carrots, very simple. Very simple seasonings on the carrots and the vegetables. They were soft.
Buttery.
Yeah. Carrot is such a good flavor by itself. You never really want to overpower it. And they definitely steer clear of trying to do that. And so the carrots are great. And then the corn, just that beautiful golden color. It almost shines off the plate. It's so shiny, in that perfect way, right? And they have two, of course, were buttery. And overall, it's one of those meals that really good. It didn't sit too heavy on you, despite it being a heavier meal with red beans and rice. Very, very good.
Well, and also just the plating of it all was really
simple,
but effective. Yeah. I mean, it just looks like a good meal. You hear plate lunch and sometimes you think of something that's like
thrown in a styrofoam box.
Sloppy in a styrofoam box. And that's just not this. This was really, it just was beautiful to look at.
It looks like the plate that you'd fix at your house and sit down with.
Exactly. So, and mine did too. So I got
portion size as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, big portions. Yeah, for sure. So I got the grilled chicken supreme, which I know if you tell somebody, yes, I went and I ordered the grilled chicken, that could sound really bland, right?
Sure.
This is not. This is a really, really well-seasoned piece of chicken breast, a big portion of it, a lot of seasoning on it. I'm guessing it's their Southern Spice special seasoning.
That's
which
at the table as well.
Actually serve you on the table to be able to top with your meal. But really, really good. Perfectly seasoned. It's topped with pepper jack cheese. I opted for no grilled onions because that's just me. But it normally comes with covered in grilled onions as well. So I know a lot of people love that.
And you're not a pepper jack person, but you were definitely feeling it that day.
Oh, yeah. So it's like several slices of pepper jack cheese melted on top of your grilled chicken. And it comes with these really soft, again, really well-seasoned buttered potatoes underneath. And one of the best parts, I don't just, rolls, cornbread, whatever carbohydrate you're giving me, that is not a throwaway. That is not a throwaway for me. I take a lot of time to think about what bread's going to go with this. And they went with the classic roll that reminds you of a school lunch.
That good yeast roll.
Yeah.
And you can just tell the
thick,
nice and brown on the top. White.
I don't
interior.
Know if everyone was as blessed in their school cafeteria as I was in mine. Shout out to the ladies back at Oakdale High School.
Big props. Mad props.
Mad props to those ladies because that was so good.
Yeah.
Anytime I can get a roll like that, I'm like, takes me back.
So as you mentioned earlier, the location's awesome, especially if you have an event at McNeese. It's just seconds away from their campus. On the south part of town, down Ryan Street, which means it's just a minute or so off the interstate, off of the 210 loop. So it's very easy to get to, and it really is worth a stop if you're coming through the area.
And again, they serve breakfast and lunch options there at Southern Spice, so give it a try and let us know what you think.
From a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on Michael Gardner, owner and operator of Pasta Lab. Following a 35-year career in country club management, he pursued a second career, combining his passion for pasta and people. He opened Pasta Lab in 2020 and has been a shining culinary beacon in Lake Charles ever since. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Enjoying myself here on a Monday morning.
So Southwest Louisiana, known for big city amenities, but small town charm. It makes for a variety of experiences that one can add to their itinerary, from the types of food like Pasta Lab to outdoor adventures and national and regional entertainment that the lake area draw in. Before we get started, we ask each guest a few questions to let our listeners know first how you play in Louisiana's playground. So some rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
You go right ahead.
Okay. Number one, crawfish or gumbo?
Gumbo.
Why is that?
Because when I left in 2000, I was able to take the gumbo with me, and I was able to make gumbo for myself in parts of the country that have no idea how to do that correctly. Hey, I was once in Michigan. Mm-hmm. I ordered the gumbo. I got a bowl of minestrone soup.
That's not it. Nope.
Not happening.
You got to be careful when you order from places that even say, the outside of here, that say like Cajun cuisine. You're like, ah, I don't know.
You know, what do you see? Cajun. What do you, yeah, what do you see on like the can of like Yoo-Hoo's chocolate drink?
Yeah, that's what it is.
It should just say Cajun gumbo.
Air quotes. Yeah,
with air quotes.
Well, I mean, let's take a simple, critical Cajun ingredient, andouille.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you will not find andouille anywhere else in the country. I've been out there. I know.
I've tried.
Yeah, no, if you get like Idel's andouille, it's horrible. They so miss the point, the grind, the everything about it is simply wrong, which really segues into pasta and Pasta Lab and why I'm doing what I do.
Awesome. So, okay, second rapid fire question, poolside or beachside?
Beachside.
Okay, why's that?
Lived it.
Yeah?
Loved it.
Where'd you live?
Santa Barbara, California.
I heard they have some beaches there.
We got some beaches there. I lived in a little community that's attached to Santa Barbara called Summerland, and I could just walk to the beach.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It was nice.
Okay. Concert or comedy show?
Ooh, concert.
Concert. Okay. What are we listening to?
Oh, what have I heard?
You are wearing an AC/DC shirt.
I most definitely,
for this interview.
I'm wearing a Rain Spooner AC/DC shirt.
It is a very cool shirt.
This is a nice one. I saw the Back in Black tour.
Did you?
Wow. The first tour after Bon Scott was toast.
Uh-huh.
I actually saw the Back in Black tour. So
cool.
Concert-wise, I've seen it. I've seen The Who 3 times. I've seen Van Halen 3 times. I also saw Van Hagar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the concerts I went to and some of the things I've seen and the experiences are unmatched, unparalleled. If I had my ticket stub collection, you would be blown away.
I bet. That's fantastic. That's awesome.
A little different.
Yeah, very cool. I always think of Joe Dirt when I hear Van Halen.
Van Halen, not Van Hagar.
Yeah, Van Halen, not Van Hagar. Oh, I love that. Normally we open the interview and we immediately start talking about why you're here. But before we get there, I think you made a good point that I wanted to touch on. You say you left in 2000,
mm-hmm.
but you're back now.
Mm-hmm.
You've experienced the beautiful beaches of the West Coast. You've been other parts of the country. You went to Denver University. You've seen a lot of really cool places in this country, and yet you choose Lake Charles, Louisiana as your home. Why?
People. You. I'm pointing at them. You. Because the people here are singular in their warmth and welcoming. If you start to have a discussion about something random with the person behind you in the grocery store line in California, they're going to look at you and it's clear. They're thinking, what does he want? He must want something. Mm-hmm. This guy's going to scam on me somehow. Here, if you do that, you're just having a conversation with your neighbor.
Yeah.
So it's really, to me, it's all about the people. And I hadn't been back that long before the hurricanes. And we got to see our people at their absolute very best. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else when something like that hits. In fact, I was in Santa Barbara when something like that hit. And the community response was pathetic. They just waited for somebody else. They waited for they to come and fix the disaster, mm-hmm. find the bodies. Not here. I find you. I ask, how can I help?
Yeah.
That's what's different.
Wow.
It's deep.
Yeah, wow. So that's a huge open to the show, and obviously has a lot to say of why for Pasta Lab.
Mm-hmm.
For you, what is it? How did it come to be? What's the why?
Well, Pasta Lab is a lot of things, but never a restaurant. Pasta Lab is an expression of myself in a lot of ways. I've been making pasta for 35, 38 years, whatever, at home on a hobby level. My mom gave me one of those clamp-on-the-countertop pasta rollers, and I went to town and learned how to make pasta, and I really, really enjoyed it. But it's a matter of doing it correctly. So we can go and we can find a lot of things, and it's that thing, but it's not actually correct. But my thing was to do the pasta and to do it correctly. The stuff at the grocery store is no representation of what you'll get if you actually were in Italy or someplace that was really featuring good pasta. So it was really important for me to do that right. And then it was February 17, 2020, that I figured out what the whole business was supposed to be, what it was going to look like. And I sat down and I drafted it all out on that evening. And then, of course, you know, yeah, great timing, right? So, but it's certainly not the original vision, and we'll get to talk about that a little bit more.
And I think nowadays, more so than possibly ever in the history of humanity, authenticity matters.
Yes.
People seek it. People crave it. We see it. You mentioned it from the gumbo and the air quotes Cajun dishes. And that's obviously such a big point for you with pasta. Do you see the reaction from people appreciating the authenticity?
Yes. And it comes from your age group. I'm a generation older than you.
Mm-hmm.
And authenticity wasn't a thing for my generation, but it's so important to you guys. You go looking to be entertained by experiences. So the experience better be pretty correct,
mm-hmm.
or you're not actually satisfied. So I said, here's a whole generation that's going to understand and seek, and even more important, appreciate that we're making this effort to be so authentic.
What steps do you take to do that?
I think first thing is who you surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple of extremely authentic guys that are working with me. My wife does a lot of backup, and she's pretty darn authentic. I can say that. But then we step back and we look at what our products are supposed to be and make sure that we're paying homage by doing them absolutely correctly. And then we get to have fun. And mm-hmm. then I'm doing things that I know Italian pasta makers would just be disgusted by in some instances.
Mm-hmm.
And that I know I'm playing with what they've created for my own success.
Let's talk about the product for a second. You have a variety, shapes, sizes, flavors, ingredients. What can people expect?
Well, they can expect that if they come in and they want to get what we call a noodly pasta, mm-hmm. That it's going to be correct. It's going to be made with the right flour. Okay, in the grocery store, we have the pasta superhighway. Everything is one flour, one liquid, and one process. And it's all extruded.
Mm-hmm.
And a noodle isn't supposed to be that. It's supposed to be a very specific flour. It's supposed to be a very specific part of the egg. And the process is supposed to be making dough, resting dough, rolling dough, cutting. That's how you're supposed to make a noodle. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then you go to the other process, which is obviously extrusion. Okay. So that's how we're going to make canestri or orzo, rigatoni, campanelle. But that's a whole different flour.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different liquid. It's a different process. So you're going to get it right. You know, when you come in, the first thing you're going to get in your pasta is that it's going to be correct. And then after that, we're going to shake you up. You're going to look at your tagliatelle and say, wait a minute, this has sun-dried tomato and basil laminated into it. Yeah, we did that. Wow.
That sounds so good.
Yeah. This one has truffle in it. How did you do that? Well, we work with a vendor in Italy called Sacchi Tartufi, and we get a product that they make that is specific to the machine I have.
Wow.
When I made that discovery, that was cool.
And the machine is incredible.
Oh, the Trudy the extruder is really something.
Trudy.
Trudy. Of all the equipment in the shop, my girlfriend is definitely Trudy. I love this piece of equipment. We have a relationship, but we use Trudy for these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And so you come along with something like the right product to make a beautiful black truffle fettuccine for you. And then we really got crazy. And I said, okay, this is Southwest Louisiana. My interpretation and definition of flavor is very different than here. Okay. So we started playing with cayenne. And we simply made cayenne-infused pasta. Well, the stuff went crazy.
Smells amazing.
You like that?
It smells incredible.
That sounds something that...
Well, yeah. It smells... That was when... So we did a video series with you, as you remember. And if you want to see Trudy in action, there's a couple of cool shots with... Yeah. I think there was some rotini that you were kind of cutting out of it at the time. And it's a great video piece that works well as a companion piece to our podcast here that you want to see. But you were... That was when you were kind of first debuting, I think, and really getting used to the cayenne pasta.
Yep.
And it smells incredible.
Oh, yeah. So we got going with that one, and that was a taker. And then we got our hands on jalapeno powder. So now we've got this sort of New Mexico Tex-Mex shell pasta.
Mm.
Ooh.
There's some ideas with that.
Ooh. Aren't there, though? There's a pretty good Southwest bake involved in that one. Then we hit on hickory dust. And we
Where does one find hickory dust?
Online.
I need to pick up any hickory dust.
We're gonna cover a lot of funny ingredients that I have been sourcing online, and the stuff I have found lately has been so wonderful. We may be isolated a little bit here in Lake Charles, but Amazon isn't isolated. But we hit the hickory, and I did hickory shells, and then came the revelation of pastelaya.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's all kinds of jambalaya kits in the grocery store, and we know that there's pastelaya. Okay, how can we take that and make it something really special? So I bought the competition, and it looks terrible. I mean, it's really icky. Sorry, guys. And we took it and so upscaled that.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at the recipes, and we looked at the different things, but it's so unique. You're starting with a hickory-infused pasta to begin with. You can't beat that.
That changes everything.
How about this one? Next week, we launch a meal kit. And that's what these are. The pastelaya are like meal kits. You just add the protein and go.
Oh, that's great.
This is easy. This is like camper's delight. Well, next week, we release a goulash. There's paprika, the Hungarian seasoning, in the canestri pasta. Where are you going to find that? So I went shopping, and I found all of the dehydrated ingredients from diced tomato to carrot and the onion, tomato paste. I found all of that and figured it all out. And you just add water, brown little beef, put in the contents of the packet, add water, 15 minutes, you get dinner. So when we talk about doing some of the flavorings where it's starting to drive the business, is into these meal kits. Next week, you're going to see some really unusual billboards in Lake Charles for Pasta Lab.
Okay.
And
a nice tease.
I'm
excited.
Well, simple.
Yeah.
Pictures of the pasta meal kits, and it's just going to say Cajun MREs.
Clever.
Isn't it?
Very clever. That's one thing I think that's important for you to maybe explain to our viewers is I'm one of these people that when it comes to dinner time at night with Brady and the two kids, it's like, what can we pop in the microwave? What's going to take the least amount of time tonight? That often is like where we are in our schedule. That's where we're at right now with our 3-year-old and 1.5-year-old. So I think a lot of times when it comes to like buying pasta, you're suddenly thinking, oh, this is going to be a process. This is a big undertaking to make dinner this way. But the way you're providing it to people in these meal kits, you're not making me think about it.
We're dollarizing convenience. Your generation has dollarized convenience. And the best part is that my generation caught it. You guys spread it to us. Convenience has now become the number one thing that we're looking for. We want to be in and out of whatever it is, curbside pickup. Whatever it was, a lot of these things came out of COVID, but the fact that we can do and we're expected to do so much more, living these days than 50 years ago, convenience is super important. So we look at this and say, how can we make this as easy as possible? What can we do that is as easy as possible? Come by the ravioli. They're frozen. You boil them from frozen. 3 or 4 minutes, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We've got the sauces. Grab and go. The cheeses, grab and go. It's the convenience of having somebody else handle part of the process to take the burden off of you.
And it's, I think it's important to look at, as you were talking about the authenticity of how they're made, it's not just mass-produced items. All of these items are handcrafted and homemade within a few days of when you bought them.
Generally, that is correct. I mean, dry pasta might be on the shelf in our case for a month, but
sure.
You know, you can also walk in, and if you say, you know what, I need a pound of cracked black pepper fettuccine, we're going to roll it on the spot. If you came looking for fresh pasta, we're going to roll on the spot for you. Come in and have your lasagna sheets made fresh by us. And, you know, you're leaving with fresh lasagna sheets. By the way, did you want some basil in those?
Mm.
Yeah, we can do that. You want some with basil, some with pepper, so that you layer them in your lasagna? Yeah, your older sister? Nah, she isn't going to be able to do that. You've got the family competition beat.
And I think it's important for people that aren't familiar with Pasta Lab. You guys are not a restaurant.
Correct.
Like this, at the end of the day, you guys make pasta for you to make your creations at home. Although there, like you said, there are some meal kits. You do have some options in terms of grabbing your sauces, oils, etc. But you're not a restaurant. You do supply to restaurants, though.
Oh yes. If you'd like an easy introduction to our products, all you really have to do is go to 121. Or go to Restaurant Cala, or go visit Chef Colin over at Villa Harlequin, or sometimes you can go see Andrew at 1910.
Oh, wow.
So you can find these restaurants are already using the product. So there are ways to get the introduction. But you just come into the lab, and always one of us is going to ask you, is this your first time at the lab? And we're going to stop and we're going to take the time to familiarize yourself with the experience, because not only is there nothing else like it in Lake Charles, there's nothing else like it in Louisiana. Near as I can find, there's nothing else like it in the United States.
Wow.
I wanted to do something that was, and I'm searching for the word right now, like what Uber or Airbnb did to, you know, upend a major industry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that, but the idea is, you know, let's shatter concept. Let's really push. And the original concept was pretty much 100% retail. That was not going to survive. So we have gone to wholesale restaurant, wholesale grocery, farmers market, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone to any and everything as far as what our revenue streams can be. Nothing's off the table.
So when you open up a place like this, it's a big leap because, like you said, it is different than anything else out there. How do you gauge what the reception is going to be like, and what has it been like since you opened?
I knew that the reception was going to be a little slow. I knew that I wasn't opening this in New York or Florida or California, where I would be opening in a vacuum that sucked the customer in. I knew that I didn't have that advantage. And I knew that there was going to be a lot of education involved. I would say that, you know, it's been a great experience, probably not as fulfilling as if I was in one of those aforementioned locations, but I'm not. So I have to figure out how to make it work. And I think we've been pretty successful with that, because people know we're there. People that know us love us. There's no question that we've got our diehards. But we're still looking to get more people more familiar with the idea of, you know, it's not just rice and potatoes, it's rice, potatoes, pasta.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Got to add that in there.
Oh, yeah.
It's important. So what do you think this does to kind of forces this expansion and broadens people's horizons a bit, their view a bit here in Lake Charles?
I think it does that. Probably an example of that that we're playing with right now is, I think 3 months ago, I bought the dye that makes orzo. So orzo is the pasta competitor to rice.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially rice made out of pasta. And it's going. And we tell people, why don't you consider using this instead of rice? But you're in rice country. I know. Try it. So when I was in Lafayette, I showed the grocery store there, Champagne's, whole wheat orzo. They bought it on the spot. They're like, but we have people asking for this all the time. I said, uh-huh. I wondered about that. People here are curious.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that you can do in Lake Charles, people say there's nothing to do. You can satisfy your curiosities, can't you? Okay. And I think it's pretty important for the people that have been there been here their whole lives to satisfy those curiosities. And people that we need in Lake Charles, that we're trying to get to come to Lake Charles, have to know that there's things to discover here. That's what you're about. That's what Visit Lake Charles is about. When I lived here in the 90s and I discovered crabbing,
mm-hmm.
wow. That was the greatest thing.
Yeah.
Still is.
It is. See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the services you guys offer that I think is possibly the best introduction into doing it, you just do classes to kind of further do the education and the teaching of the world of pasta. Because look, at the end of the day, pasta is a whole other language for people to speak. I mean, you sat there and rattled off like 40 pastas and it sounded like you were naming Pokemon or something.
I'm more familiar with the Pokemon.
Yeah,
than
at this point. But because it is a whole, you know, we were talking pregame. It is a whole other language.
Well, it is. and whether you're talking, you know, specifically produce or specifically cuts of meat or specifically, you know, anything, it has its own language. It has its own science. Mm-hmm. That's where part of the business name came from. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yes, we have our own little world over there. And the fact that I tend to create words anyhow makes it just more so.
What's a class like?
Okay. The class, we really like this. We do open enrollment every Saturday at 5:30. Call ahead, go to Humanitix, buy a ticket, and sign up. Or I'll have somebody call up and say, it's my wife's 40th birthday party. I want to host a birthday party for 10 people. All right, we're going to look at another night of the week, and you're going to do a buyout private class.
Oh, very cool.
Okay, so that's very cool. So people show up, and the first thing I do is an exercise that requires them to focus all five senses on food. Is that what you came here for? Hang on, just play along with me here, kind of a thing. And then we actually start off with a lesson about cheese. In my shop, you will find Parmigiano Reggiano and Pecorino Romano. Correctly done. Okay. And we're going to spend about 15 minutes learning about those cheeses and why they're correct. And then you're spoiled for the rest of your life. But hey, you know. So I'm going to get your mind started thinking about food through your five senses. And then I'm going to pick up a box of store-bought pasta and I'm going to say, there's nothing wrong with this but everything. And then we're off and running. And we're going to, right off the bat, we're going to get into what is a noodle? What should it be? And what is a rigatoni? How should it be made? And then I'm going to have more fun than you should pay me for, and you're paying me for it. I'm going to walk into the back of the lab, and Trudy's going to be running, and you are going to hand-cut pasta coming out of an extruder. And no, I don't want to is not an answer. I don't accept it.
Not an option.
Not an option. And believe me, I've had, you know, the beefy belly boy that was like, you know, oh, I'm not doing that. And it's like, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. You know, and we're going to do that. We're going to get into how to make dough. Very specifically, we're going to get into process. We're going to get into the science of dough. We're going to get into rolling 101. Yes, there are attachments that go on your KitchenAid to do this, but I'm going to make you hand crank it first because you've got to feel. You've got to feel what that feels like if you've done the dough right. And besides that, it's a lot of fun. I'm going to teach you how to infuse your pasta. I'm going to show you how to make ravioli. And all of a sudden, when we're doing that, and we're working with elastic pasta, you're going to understand why we did what we did an hour before when we started making pasta dough. And we're going to make ravioli. That's relatively easy. But I'm going to show you how to make tortellini. We're going to make triangole. The listener can't see my hand, but hey.
But you can imagine what he's doing.
All right.
You grew a mustache while you did it.
See? Let me twist up the ends. Uh-huh. But we're gonna do that. I'm going to teach you how to make a bow tie, which is really frustrating. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go back through.
But it is awesome for stuff like pastelaya, that bow tie pasta.
Yeah.
I like it with the pastelaya.
Yeah, I think bow tie really does lend itself to that. I know that one of the competitors in the jambalaya pastelaya cook-off used bow tie. Mm. And I took note of the fact that was really pretty good. But we were out there with our hickory infused shells.
And they were very good.
No, they were, weren't they? So, but beyond being very good, they're singular. Okay. Yeah. And a part of my country club management background is, you have to provide an experience that's singular. And the classes are that. You will leave and say, not done anything like that before. You can go to Italy and take a pasta making class. It'll be nothing like my class. And it's not saying that it's any better or worse. It's just different.
Yeah.
Completely different. And you walk out of there with your head reeling because you've come to learn how to roll fettuccine and you've left understanding that it takes 660 gallons of cow's milk to make an 88-pound block of Parmigiano Reggiano.
Wow.
And we're going to introduce you to balsamic vinegar and infused olive oil during the course of the evening.
So much of the way you talk about pasta, it's obvious that you appreciate it from a sense of someone appreciating a painting, appreciating a television show, a work of art. But also you make sure to talk about the science of each of these things. I've asked you this question before, and I love the way that you answer it. Pasta, is it an art or is it a science?
Wow. Okay. Well, it's both. It doesn't have to be either or. I've been in a situation where somebody told me it had to be A or B, and I refused to answer it that way. I said it's going to be both. Why is it going to be both? Because don't I get more satisfaction out of soaking in the art and the science?
Mm-hmm.
I was recently visiting my twin brother in Denver. He just moved into a new house. I walked down a staircase right into an Andy Warhol self-portrait. And I looked at it closely and realized it's real.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. And I said, Gareth? And he said, uh-huh. So I was appreciating the art, but I thought about everything that was going on and who made that piece. And it meant so much more than art in that moment. Art and science, do we really want to separate them? I mean, I have a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration. 40 years ago, that was how they were saying management is both a science and an art.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So why limit ourselves to something having to be one or the other? Let it be everything.
Well, I think the important distinction is art comes from the heart, science comes from the brain, right? Isn't that typically how it is, right? Science is are formulas. They're detailed instructions or detailed this and that. One plus two always equals three. Whereas art, you can say, yeah, but if you put a little thing on it here, now it can, so it feels like that with pasta where you creating the noodle, that's science. You throwing in cayenne, that's art.
If I didn't learn something during this interview, it wouldn't mean much. And I just learned something. So You know, I haven't heard the hard distinction between art and science stated like that in a long time. I'm glad you did that.
It's just off the top of my head. Thanks.
Just came to you.
Yeah, it just came to me.
You nailed it. So I would agree. I would say there are parts of it that come from the brain, the noodle. Thank you. But we fuss with that. We fuss with how do we make it works. We tried a number of alternative flours, let's say, and we had some beautiful disasters. I mean, mm-hmm. We really did. And then we found an alternative flour that so kicks butt over chickpea or black bean. And we've got a cult following for something called mung bean. It's either M-U-N-G or M-O-O-N-G. It's an Asian bean that's mm-hmm. milled into flour. And using the extruder, we're able to turn that into any pasta, any shape, any noodle. But there was a whole lot of science behind that because there's no gluten. Okay? So now I'm making a gluten-reliant product without any gluten. We figured it out. We got it. And if you are gluten intolerant or you want an alternative, I've got it. And you'll really, really like it. And you'll like it a whole lot better than that penne ick at the grocery store. That stuff's nasty. I'm sorry, folks.
You're going to make me a pasta snob. And yes. I'm just saying, yes. Speaking of those classes, though, I'm reaching out and grabbing Brady's arm because I have a birthday.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Yeah.
And your girl would like to expand her ravioli horizons beyond Chef Boyardee.
Are you tired of being an imposter?
Yes. I want the real thing. Let's make it happen.
So the classes, if you go on that, we quickly came to realize that we teach three different classes. One is for entertainment. One is for education. And one is for industry. Okay. So we absolutely found that people were there to have a good time, or people were there sometimes with kids, mm-hmm. you know, high school or whatever. And it was meant to take education out of the classroom and into practical application. Mm-hmm. And the third part went to industry. So we will take groups from Sasol or 66 or a hair salon. And my background in knowledge in management is deep enough that if you tell me in advance what management you want me to work into a class plan for a group from Sasol, we got that.
That's great.
Yeah, that's easy. That's easy. Whether it's finance, process, safety, whatever the topic is, I can make it apply to our pasta class. So the classes evolved into three really different experiences.
Well, for a very mini class for people, as we kind of round out this interview, what are some ways people can use whatever pasta they have, specifically the pasta that they would find in your store if they're from here and can get it? And do you guys ship, right?
Yes.
So you also ship. So there's no excuse not to be able to get it anywhere in the country. What is a piece of advice that people can transform their pasta game tonight?
Okay. So people come and they grab their pasta and they say, now, what recipe would you use this for? And I say, I don't know. For me, the passion ends when the pasta is made.
That's it. It's done. It's over.
It took me a couple of years to figure this out, but my passion is actually combining flour and liquid and making pasta. And I'm done. Okay? So whatever you want to do with it from there on.
That's on you.
That's on you. But here, I'm going to give all of our listeners a real simple, and it doesn't matter if you're making a pasta dish or you want to make a cherry cobbler. Mm-hmm. This is so easy. Google cherry cobbler, and you're going to be able to go immediately to 4, 5, 6 different recipes. Scan them all and pick from them the things that sound really good or the things that you're already familiar with, and take off. Do something that's a mashup of the Hit Parade, and mm-hmm. you'll probably be pretty successful.
land on something that's just for you.
You're gonna take it, and you know what else is cool? You're gonna start to demystify cooking.
That's the biggest thing, and yeah. Something that I've done over the last 5 or 6 years is I've really gotten more into trying to expand my background. You start being able to eat something and say, "Well, I know exactly what's in this." The other day we had a sauce, and Jill was like, I like this. It's kind of weird. And I said, I don't, because there's horseradish in it, and I tasted it immediately.
Okay.
How would I have known that, you know, without
kind of.
And so you really start being able to pick out those things. And so I really thought that your answer was going to be use great cheese, because I feel like that is such that a big thing when it comes to, if you've got fresh pasta, using fresh cheese goes a long way.
Well, and it's used grated cheese. Or it could be shredded cheese, or it could be shaved cheese, but use good cheese, yes. Anyhow, sorry. But no, and it does get people when I look at them and say, I don't know, do what you want to do. The only time I've told somebody that they could not do what they suggested was when somebody bought the Alfredo sauce and the marinara sauce and cheerfully told me that they were going to mix the two together. And I told them, no.
Why is that? Okay, wait. Why?
Because it's disgusting. No. And then I realized, this was right when I'd opened the business, and then I realized, if they're paying me, they can take the sauce and use a paintbrush and paint their car with Alfredo if they want to. They could do with it whatever they want. They own it now. So I had to get over that. I
had to step back.
Okay.
That's funny, because whenever I'm cooking pasta at home, and of course, I don't cook the pasta. I'm buying it store bought, but I'm going to change where I'm buying it from, probably.
Good.
But I always I make the Alfredo from scratch.
Good on you.
But the marinara, I'm buying that in a jar, and it is usually everyone's preferred method to mix it.
I like the pink sauce.
Well, that's the vodka sauce.
Yes. Yeah. I like
He likes the marinara and the Alfredo mix.
A 75-25 marinara, 75-25 Alfredo. It's basically using it as the cheese, because so much of marinara is cheese. Alfredo is cheese.
Yeah.
And so it just basically makes it a cheesier marinara sauce.
He thinks you're disgusting.
So, yeah, he does. And no, everything that I've said now,
it makes more sense.
The condescending look now is all over his face.
No, Brady, what you said now makes more sense to me compared to what I heard 4 years ago. No, what you just said makes a lot more sense to me, and I'll go back and I'll share that with Lane and Alex in the store. I also find it intriguing, because if you buy our marinara, it's not technically a marinara. It's more like a marinara rustica. You can take it and do whatever you want with it to build a puttanesca or anything else. The magic ingredient in our marinara rustica, we're going through wheels of Parmesan cheese, right? So we knock the rind off. You take that rind, you break it up, and you put it in the marinara and just let that rock for a couple hours.
Oh.
And then the last thing you do is hit that with an immersion blender, and you obliterate that cheese rind throughout the sauce.
Beautiful.
That's special.
Beautiful.
That's cool.
That's special. But I'm sort of all of a sudden saying to myself, challenge yourself, Michael, because you're not right. How much time have you spent around people that are absolutely right all the time?
Mm.
They're not an awful lot of fun, are they? You don't maybe even bother coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can be wrong. I've been wrong. I look forward to being wrong, because I can't grow as a person and be more helpful to you if I'm not wrong.
And that's just as important when you're in the lab and you're creating something and you go, okay, I think this is how we're going to do it. And like you said, with the one pasta you made, you went through lots of beautiful disasters before it all came to be. It's so important to say, I'm okay being wrong. I'm going to try it. Because then you wouldn't be where you are. You wouldn't own a business like this. You wouldn't have accomplished this.
And that applies to everything.
Oh, and here's where I learned how to approach it, I guess, was in junior high and gym. We're doing the hurdles, and John asked Coach, hey, Coach, can't I get hurt doing this? And Coach snapped, Abatino, you can get hurt getting out of bed in the morning. Run the hurdles. So are you going to stay in bed, or are you going to run the hurdles? Huh. I'm running the hurdles.
Yeah.
And I've smacked those suckers a few times. They really hurt. But I'm not going to spend my life in the bleachers. I'm on the field. That means you're going to lose sometimes.
Well, look, as we put, I love that quote and that the feeling behind that. To put a bow on this, what's the future? What do you envision the future of Pasta Lab?
To put a bow tie on this.
A bow tie pasta on this, yes. And what do you see the future of Pasta Lab, Lake Charles, and those goals, those ambitions?
Well, goal number one is survival. I mean, it's not like this thing was going to make money the day the door opened, okay? And your runway is paved in cash. You know, you got to run out of runway at some point. You know, so you're in a fight for survival. And I really hate the term pivot, but we have done that and done that and done that. And we're going to continue to do that. So in a lot of ways, this morning, I don't have the answer. This evening, I may have more of an answer. But we've got so many irons in the fire, whether it's with our restaurant and wholesale growth, or whether it's how we continue to move into a prepared meal space, or whether I listen to someone that's kind of courting Pasta Lab to do and be more. But it's really down to survival. And that's okay. But, you know, we sure appreciate the support of the people of Southwest Louisiana. And if you want to help out, just show a little more support.
Thanks again to Michael for joining us here on the show. And thank you for taking time out of your day to join us on this here podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please, you know the drill, follow the podcast, leave us a rating or a review. We really, really do appreciate it as it helps us grow.
It also helps us further share the unique experiences that Lake Charles in Southwest Louisiana has to offer. Go to visitlakecharles.org/podcast for more episodes, advice on where to eat, and events happening this weekend. I'm Jillian Corder.
And I'm Brady Raynard. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground. See you.